Statement from the Nathan B. Stubblefield Foundation Board of Directors. The Equal Rights Amendment has been on the table for states' ratification since 1972. That is close to 50 years. The 3/4 ratification of the states, meaning 38 states, is required for passage. 37 have ratified the ERA, but Florida is not one of them. The amendment reads, quote, "Equality of rights under the law shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of sex. Passage would ensure that all people, regardless of gender, are assured of no discrimination in terms of property, employment, divorce, and other such matters." Let's be proactive. Start contacting your elected Florida representatives and senators to vote yes on the concurrent ERA resolutions to ensure equality for all Americans.
Welcome to Midpoint Monday on 88.5 FM and WMNF.org. I'm Sean Canaan. To this hour, we will look at how much development should there be in Florida, where should it occur, and who should pay for the infrastructure. Today, we'll hear segments of a panel discussion on the topic of the politics of growth and the environment from 2 weeks ago at Tampa Tiger Bay Club. If you'd like to email your comments, dj@wmnf.org, you can text 813-433-0885. First, we'll hear a comment that was left by a listener after our last show. We heard teachers who were rallying in Tallahassee. We also heard from a Tampa woman who was visiting the U.S.-Mexico border in Texas to be a witness to the conditions faced by migrants and refugee seekers. So here's one listener's comment.
My name is Francis from Tampa, and I'm calling in regards to the immigration issue about those countries being violent. Well, they're going to go from one violent country into another violent country. America is a very violent country. And in Florida, you can't even walk down the street practically without getting hit by a car, which happened to me in 2013 in August. I was nearly killed. And but America's a violent country, and we have a lot of crime here. And look what's going on in Detroit and Chicago and all across America and these inner-city neighborhoods where people are getting killed. And they're just going from the pot to the kettle. They're just going from one violent country to another violent country. Doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know why they don't try to go to Canada. There's more room in Canada, and it's also safer there. It's more sane there. Thank you.
Well, that was a listener commenting about last week's show, which is on our website, wmnf.org/news. Later on in the broadcast, I'll give out the number for you to leave a voicemail about today's show. And you can always listen to previous shows and comment on the stories on our website. You can join us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at WMNF News. And if you'd like to email your comments during the show today, you can email dj@wmnf.org. Well, the politics of growth in Florida is what the topic of the Tampa Tiger Bay Club Forum was about 10 days ago. We're going to hear from four panelists, and here's the order in which we'll hear them during the first response. You'll hear from Democratic Hillsborough County Commissioner Mariella Smith, Realtor Andy Scaglione, Ecologist Vivian Handy, and Hillsborough School Board member Steve Kona, who is with the construction industry. The first question we'll hear right now is from Tampa Tiger Bay President Yvonne Fry.
We live in paradise. We have great economic conditions right now. We have great leadership. We have high interest from a lot of stakeholders in and out of our region for wanting to be here. 900 people moving into the state every day. Growth is happening. How do we balance that growth and welcoming the people that are coming with the needs of infrastructure, the environment, and the other considerations that we have with that? If you can answer that in two minutes or less, then we're good, right? No, we'll keep moving. So Steve, would you want to start?
Mariella.
Oh, Mariella, thank you.
Sure, and thanks to Tiger Bay for putting on this panel. It's a very important topic, framed well by that first question, and I'm really looking forward to the answers from all of the panelists here. It's important to have this discussion among all of us with broad perspectives about it. We have been mismanaging growth for so long that we find ourselves in a problem. Almost everybody agrees to that, so that citizens in South Hillsborough particularly are finding, but throughout the county, finding roads overcrowded, schools overcrowded. The fire and response team time is getting to be too long in parts of our county, and citizens in South County are actually finding the water pressure in their faucets is dropping. So the situation, we are at an important crossroads, and we are going to need to figure out how many people we can afford to invite make sure that this growth is paying its fair share of all of that infrastructure, roads, water, schools, fire, sheriff, all of it at the same time it comes. And then we have to also direct growth to the places where we want it to be, where it will not lower the quality of life of the people who are already there. There are places where we want density to create transit hubs and affordable housing that is close to jobs and services and transit. So we have an exciting opportunity here. We have a lot of people engaged. We have a lot of political will now in this community that is calling for change and looking for answers. And it's time to bring fresh, creative solutions instead of the same old that got us in this mess. Thank you.
I think it goes back to what you did yesterday is where you're at today. What you do today is where you're at tomorrow. We have failed at yesterday, and I question what we're doing today if we're moving quick enough. When you look at some of these studies at schools, 14 years had not been looked at. 23 years it took for transportation not to be looked at. So I'm going to hit conservation, which is dear to my heart. As you know, in November 2014, we had Amendment 1, which the voters passed by 75%. And that was called Amendment 10, the Florida Water and Land Legacy. It was dedicated out of 33% of the dock stamps. Well, what's happened is instead of land preservation, it's gone to salaries and management. Conservation is probably simply the smartest, best investment we can make in Florida, because if we want them to continue coming here, other than our low tax base, you have to have the environment, okay? We cannot have a build pay mentality. That's short, very short-sighted. So I don't know if she's in the audience, but just locally here, we're going to miss somebody, which is Kathy Beck. She's retiring in next month, and if it wasn't for her, we wouldn't have the tree canopy that we have in the city of Tampa today. So shout out to Kathy, and we'll miss her.
Well, I really would just echo what's already been said here, but from the small town, South County rural perspective, there is enormous concern over the quality of life that is being lost. I work with a woman who lived in Apollo Beach and has moved out to east of Waimama just to escape the sprawl. We're gonna run out of places to escape to pretty soon. There are big issues right now, and this community has done a really good job of addressing things like sea level rise and resiliency and climate change. But there is a balance. The more we pave out in our rural areas, the less carbon sequestration that happens, the more carbon we generate, and the more infrastructure we have to pay for. So all of that goes back into the pot of more climate change, less solutions, and less ways to pay for it, frankly. Time and again, there are studies after study that says lack of local action is one of the biggest reasons that climate change is not being properly addressed. And not just climate change. The UN report on the loss of biodiversity is another one. Urban sprawl is in the top five of the reasons why we are still facing these issues and not really making much in the way of grounds on that. So back to the small town perspective, I was an original framer of the Waimama Community Plan. We are very concerned with maintaining the small town feel, having jobs that can accommodate rooftops, and making sure that our rural citizens are accommodated properly.
So I agree with everyone's points. I think we need to be smart about how this region grows in the future. I think with explosive growth that we're seeing here, you're also seeing explosive employment, which is a good thing too. So we have people who have good jobs, the industry's growing, we have consumers who are buying the products that are being developed, which is all good. But the commissioner, Andy, everyone said it right. We have to be smart by how we grow. The worst thing that happened to Hillsborough County is we had this recession. And when we had this recession, our local governments didn't decide to sporadically during that time increment some of these fees that we were charging for development. So when the recession started to come out, you know, all of these developers and everyone came in to build these houses on these rates that were 10 years hadn't even been touched. And that does not help when you grow, when you're trying to grow infrastructure with the demand. So we have to be very smart in phase two of this explosive growth, how we can get to the next level in a very smart way to move this forward so that we have remain the quality of life that we have here, but we also continue to be smart and not hurt the system where people stop wanting to come here. So it's a delicate balance, and I think we can find that balance.
Well, that's Hillsborough School Board member Steve Kona. He's with the construction industry, and we'll hear from him and the other panelists in just a second, answering the first question at the Tampa Tiger Bay Club Forum just a few days ago, 10 days ago or so. And there's four panelists. You're listening to 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa, WMNF.org. It's 12:17 in the afternoon, and we're looking at the politics of growth. What do you think about it? What's the balance between the environment and growth and development? The panelists here are answering questions. So we're going to hear the next question, and the answers are going to come from, in this order, Hillsborough School Board member Steve Kona will be first. He's with the construction industry as well. We'll hear from ecologist Vivian Handy, realtor Andy Scaglione, and Democratic Hillsborough County Commissioner Mariella Smith.
I'm John Godwin. As far as where the correct answer lies, where do you think that is with our impact fees, and where do you think that is with our density bonus system?
From an impact fee perspective, I think you have to look more than just impact fees, right? Because there's a lot of fees. There's impact fees. There's mobility fees that just started in January. There's fees for, you know, site development. A lot of fees that go into that. So it's not just one. But what I will tell you is we didn't raise fees for a very long time. And surrounding counties have been raising fees, and they still have development. We just need to, in my opinion, we need to look at those fees, look to tier them in, because you can't really just try to play catch up in 1 year, right? You can't say to the people who are trying to come here, we're going to raise fees 200-300%. That's a little, that the business community gets hit a little bit hard when you see that. But if you're going to phase, having a phased approach and a plan, people can plan for those fees. And I think the commission is looking at that right now, and she'll go into a lot more detail as to what their plan is.
This is not necessarily my area, but a comment that I would make about this is that the recession was mentioned. And as far as density issues, I think that we get far more bang for our buck when the density stays inside the urban service area. An example is St. John's County. I recently met with some folks from that area, the wealthiest county in the state of Florida. It's a small county. The small town of St. Augustine is their urban area, yet they did better in the recession than any other county because of their remaining agricultural input. They didn't put all of their eggs in one pot with hardcore development and urban sprawl, and that saved them, and it is saving them to this day.
It's very hard for me to support increased taxes or new taxes unless there's really a good rationale and the money is spent wisely. But numbers do not lie. And after reviewing, a lot of time spent on reviewing all these numbers, we're about half of Pasco County. You look at Manatee, we're substantially lower. We are giving away the farm, okay, at the back of every taxpayer. And it needs to be done now. A phase in to me, you got to bite the bullet. Pasco County, if you look at it, hasn't hurt their growth. They're growing at, they grew since 2010, 16%. Okay. Their sales tax is lower than ours at 7% versus ours at 8.5, and their millage rate's lower than ours. But they're having development pay its fair share. Well, we are not doing this in Hillsborough County.
Thank you. And You know, I think that what we'll see here today is there is a lot of common ground. There is a lot of desire to find the solutions to fix these problems. But, and everyone knows, our impact fees have been far too low for far too long, lower than surrounding counties. And what happens then is we're not able to afford the infrastructure needed for as the houses get built and the people move in. So then that builds up a backlog of expense. We are now $9 billion, conservatively speaking, in debt on the transportation roads costs that we need alone. And our impact fees are about half what they should be. They're $12,000 or $14,000 total, counting up several of them. And the recent studies show they need to be around $25,000. So we are losing $10,000 on every house built. I'm not really that excited about phasing it in as I am about taking that cost off the taxpayers' back.
I thought you had a question.
Well, that's Hillsborough County Commissioner Mariella Smith, a Democrat, and we'll hear more from her and from the other panelists in just a second, but I want to remind you that you're listening to 88.5 FM, WMNF.org, WMNF Tampa, St. Petersburg, and this is a forum about the politics of growth in Florida. It's from the Tampa Tiger Bay Club, and we're hearing from four panelists, and they're talking about things like impact fees and whether development pays its fair share, and what's the balance between development and growth and the environment, and what do you think? I want to read an email that came in just a minute ago from Kevin. Kevin says, what's the single biggest problem in Florida? Ask anyone who spent time here, and the answer is always the same. It's traffic. That's due to unbridled development and not enough restrictions on the development industry. So thank you for that email, Kevin. If you'd like to write your comment in, it's dj@wmnf.org. You can also text 813-433-0885. We're going to continue now with the panelists. We're going to hear from a question from a candidate, Andrew Learned, and the order of the responses will be, you'll first hear the voice of Mariella Smith again, then Realtor Andy Scaglione, ecologist Vivian Handy, and then Hillsborough County School Board member Steve Kona, who is also with the construction industry.
Andrew Learned, again. I just wanted to say thank you because the general consensus makes all the sense in the world to, I think, all of us who've grown up here in Florida and have seen the booms and busts of the economy that have resulted. My question is mostly related to about 2 years ago, we had a meeting at the County Commission where they presented a study that showed that if we continued to develop at the rate that we were approving waivers, we would develop every square inch of Hillsborough County by the year 2036, right? And then the following week, they approved another waiver. So what do we do to take electeds out of the process and just stick to the plan that we already have in place?
Right. The study you're referring to is the Urban Land Institute study, and they recommended at that time, I know there's people here who know this, that we not consider expanding the urban service area boundary. On your tables, I've put maps of, and my aides will show you what I'm talking about, that show our urban service area boundary. That's where we're supposed to direct growth. And Vivian is exactly right that we are not done coming to consensus on the board about how to direct that growth yet. I don't want to leave you with too rosy of a picture, although I do have a lot of optimism that we are going in a good direction. But we are, our board has just approved a couple of huge subdivisions outside that area where we are, it's too expensive to spread our infrastructure out that far and that thin. We need to focus growth, like the Urban Land Institute said.
You know, you hear the word moratorium, but what people don't realize, the 9-month moratorium is just on zonings. It's not on building, okay? And regarding the RP2 and the WVR2, sometimes you have to pump the brakes because you only have one chance to get it right. And I was born here in Hillsborough County, going to die here, and I want quality versus quantity. And there's a lot to be said about rural lifestyles. I mean, I know friends of mine here that live in the Keystone area, the Lutes. They moved there for a reason, and we need to protect them also.
Well, I think the question was about taking more out of the hands of the elected officials, and I would like to see more put back into the hands of the people and more community involvement. We currently have a rezoning and land use process in the county that is so unfriendly and ridiculous for citizen involvement. It discourages. You have to become a party of record. You have to... I don't know how many of you know what I'm talking about. I know Mariella does. It's just not user-friendly. And on top of that, we just passed House Bill 7103. So really poor rezoning or land use decisions basically can no longer be challenged by the citizenry for fear of having to pay the other side's attorney's fees. It has basically squelched the input and ability of citizens and community members to get involved. And that simply must change.
And I agree with that. I think when you get to a point where you deviate from the original plan and there's no consensus on the plan in general, then that's when you start having issues. And I think if we can come together, and I think we can, because I think everyone wants the same quality of life. So I think if you come together on a plan and stick to those plans, I think the business community will agree with that, because if they know these are the areas where we want to focus, and I can tell you from a commercial contracting perspective, it's all urban growth right now, right? Everything that's going on being built, I mean, look around, there's cranes and it's all in the urban service area. So we understand that where the people are is where, you know, the money's going to be to build projects and to grow. So, but I do think coming to consensus on a plan and sticking to that plan and making sure you hold your elected officials accountable to the plan that you guys set forth.
Mauricio Rosas, my question is that Tallahassee is pushing mobility, regional mobility. But we are not pushing regional questions regarding growth. You're talking about Keystone. If you go to the Pasco side of Keystone, there is no Keystone. It's just homes if you look at it. How can you engage the regional counties so that we work together on growth?
The flip side of that is we don't want Pasco or Manatee dictating our growth. We have areas that we have designated for our agricultural leg of our economic stool for us to be able to provide a wide variety, a wide range of lifestyles from urban to rural to suburban. And so sometimes people are saying, well, there's all this growth right across the county line. You should let it just bleed over, and want to make sure that that's not what we do. We can't, on the other hand, tell them what to do, but we can take a lesson from Pasco County, because they've done just a lot of residential sprawling development, and it has not helped their economy. So the rooftops bring jobs thing is belied in Pasco County.
The only thing I can think of when I hear that regional and how are we going to work together is working together to defeat things that are really bad idea, like MCORs. Way back when Suncoast Parkway was the thing, and the idea for that was like, oh, that won't result in urban sprawl. That won't open the doorways to development. It's a way of meeting transportation needs while we still can put the corridor where we want it, because once development happens, then we can't do that. Well, we've all seen the results of that. So how about we collectively put our heads together on, instead of something like another Suncoast Parkway or the MCORs debacle, that we put that time and energy on these transit solutions that you're talking about.
Well, that's ecologist Vivian Handy answering a question about growth and development. And you're listening to 88.5 FM, WMNF Tampa. It's 12:30 in the afternoon. And this is Midpoint, and you're listening to a discussion from the Tampa Tiger Bay Club from 10 days ago about growth and development in Florida compared with the environment. What's the trade-off? What are the things that we should be considering about so far? We've talked about things like impact fees, whether development pays its fair share, waivers for growing outside the urban service boundary, HB 7103, which would increase the amount of money that people would have to pay if they challenge development or zoning. And we got an email here from Chip who says growth is clearly not paying for itself. If it were, we wouldn't have to raise taxes to catch up on infrastructure and schools. Developers and new residents need to pay higher impact fees, as they are the ones creating the need for more infrastructure. Given the amount of growth over the past 40 years is it's coming at the expense of the quality of life for current residents. That's the opinion of Chip in Tampa. Let us know if you agree or disagree by emailing dj@wmnf.org, or you can text 813-433-0885. Include your name and where you're texting from if you do text us. And we're going to continue this conversation about the politics of growth in Florida. It's from a Tampa Tiger Bay Club forum. We're going to hear a couple of questions right now. The first question will be answered by Hillsborough County Commissioner Mariella Smith. Then we'll hear a second question that's from a former Tampa City Council member, Linda Salcena. And the people who are all four panelists will be answering that question. And the first will be Steve Kona, who's a school board member from Hillsborough. He's with the construction industry. Then Mariella Smith will answer. And then we'll hear also later from Andy Scaglione, who's a realtor. And I don't know if Vivian Handy answers in this segment, in this question. I think she does. But let's continue with the politics of growth in Florida from a Tampa Tiger Bay Club forum. Here are the next couple of questions and answers.
Jennifer Motzinger. So let's fast forward a year. Last week, the county commission seemed to all agree that the direction of growth is to go more inside the urban service boundary. But the flip side of that is you've had 30 years of a majority of the services that Hillsborough County provides being funded by growth. More specifically, the increase in taxes by new homes. So fast forwarded a year, what are you going to do to continue to provide those services? Will you increase the millage?
Thank you, Jennifer, for that question. And I know that this has been talked about by some very credible people that this new development is what is funding our government. And on the face of it, it's so counterintuitive that I did some research into the numbers to find that, in fact, it's not paying for itself. In fact, there's a ton of taxable property in our county from north to south that the new development in any given year is a very small percentage of that. So in our budget, our ad valorem taxes have been $800 to $900 million a year, and the new development is 2% of that. So you're looking at $16 to $18 million a year. That doesn't even widen a road for half a mile. So and it's not paying for its own services because that new development demands more services. So it is not paying for itself, and we're going in the whole $10,000 a house, as I said, on impact fees.
Hi, Linda Salcena. For the last decade, there has been no increase in impact fees to benefit education. Last night, the PTA voted to support the consultant's recommendation for a 100% increase to adequately meet the needs we have. This is a question for Steve Kona. Will the school board step up and reflect what the consultants are recommending?
I think from a school district perspective, we've looked at that, and I think we've sent a letter to the county commission, or I think it's something that we're planning. Kristen's here from our legislative department. We have talked about it in our school district, and 100% in. I think 100% was in the memo. So. I think as a school district, it's important to us because obviously we need to catch up on our schools and make sure we have that infrastructure. But then again, once again, we can recommend it, but the county commission is the one that has to approve it in general. I'm not sure if it's come before the board and we've approved it, but we have talked about it.
This is great because you've got a couple of us up here who agree. The impact fees for schools have been $4,000. Which is not enough, and the study shows that the cost per home actually for the capacity for the students needed is almost $9,000, $8,600. Again, I think we have done in the past when we've looked at impact fees, we've looked at phasing them in, and that leaves the taxpayers on the hook for far too long. So I'm hoping that we can with both boards, bring impact fees up to the level that actually pays for the impact. And remember that impact fees are only paying for the capital costs, only the capacity. That we still have to fund the air conditioners with the sales tax. We still have to fund teachers and operating and maintenance costs. So these impact fees are a small necessary part.
Just for clarification, it's the county commission that raises those fees. We as a school board would like those fees when, you know, obviously when the fees are collected, if we can get those fees so we can build schools, that's important to us. So raising the fees would benefit our school district, absolutely. But it's not the school board's decision to raise those fees. We can only cheer them on to get those revenues.
Just some history on school board fees. In 2004, they were $196. Okay, that you can't even buy the land with that. They went up to currently to $4,000 where they're at currently and proposes $8,595. But if you look at surrounding counties, again, Orange County's at $8,700, Pasco's at $7,700, Polk is at $5,200, and actually they have an escalation. Collier's at $8,700. So I always hear the argument from my friends that, well, if impact fees go up, it gets passed on to the homeowner. I disagree with that. I think that prices of houses are based on what the market can bear, okay? It's not cost plus. Cost plus is what you look at to make sure you're not losing money. If that was the case, Bill Gates would be a multimillionaire versus a billionaire.
Well, that was Realtor Andy Scaglione, who is talking about how impact fees might not be that bad for new construction. And you're listening to a Tampa Tiger Bay Club forum from 10 days ago about the politics of growth in Florida, about whether the environment or whether growth and development should get the upper hand, who pays for it, who pays for development, what kinds of impact fees should there be on new construction and so forth. This is 88.5 FM, WMNF Tampa. I'm Sean Canaan. You're listening to Midpoint Monday. It's 12:37 in the afternoon. We're going to go back and hear more responses from this panel of four people at the Tampa Tiger Bay Club Forum. I want to read a text that came in just a second ago responding to an earlier statement by one of the panelists. Charles writes in, whoever that was pretending that development is focused on the urban areas is clearly unaware of the tens, if not hundreds of thousands of new homes that are going in every year. And Charles says, I work with a storm shutter company that does primarily new construction homes. We installed shutters on over 10,000 new homes last year from Naples to Odessa. We're just one company in this market, not even the biggest company, and fewer than half of the new homes are required to have shutters. So that's Charles saying that there are tens of thousands of new homes going in each year on the west coast of Florida, and that it's, I guess, not mostly in the urban service area, or at least in the urban core. And so that's his experience out there. And we just heard from Realtor Andy Scaglione and from a construction industry veteran who is in the Hillsborough School Board, Steve Kona. And we're going to hear from them again when we get this next set of questions. And the first question that we'll hear from current Tampa City Council member Joseph Citro will be asking the question.
Joseph Citro, there is cause and effect in everything we do. And when you have sprawl outside of the city of Tampa, you're causing the effect of people driving in each and every day for work. There's 150,000 people each day driving into Tampa. Will you be amenable to some sort of fee on building outside of the city limits that go directly to transportation to bring these people outside of the urban core into the urban core?
I think from a transportation fee perspective, I think there's $20 million a month coming into the coffers, and we're not able to use it yet. So that's the biggest problem, is you have money that the voters have voted for transportation, that money's sitting on the sidelines, and we can't do anything with it. So that has to be resolved sooner than later, in my opinion. That's the only way I think you fix it. We're already collecting the money to fix those things.
And also impact fees. We have collected merely less than $80 million in transportation and mobility fees since 2006. So 14 years, $80 million. To widen Alithea Pinecrest 3.4 miles is $100 million. So that's how insufficient that is. But you're absolutely right, Joe, that the further and further out we build, especially building out towards Waimama, Baum. Those people, we need to, as we're working on this, and this is part of what we're trying to figure out in the moratorium of those areas, is how to make sure that residential growth happens concurrently with some employment, jobs, and services in those town centers of those communities to serve those people so they're not all commuter subdivisions driving into Tampa every day.
The short answer to your question, Joe, is yes. And just to echo Mariella's comment, people in Waimama don't want to drive to Tampa. What we do want is what Mariella just said. We want a community that is built around local jobs, local businesses that are building, and not commuters that go whizzing by through the streets of Waimama on their way downtown that really don't have any vested interest in the community. It's just a gated subdivision.
I won't repeat what's been said, but there's a public hearing actually on January 23rd coming up that has to do with just expand on the 2016 mobility fees, that there was a different rate for the urban area and the rural, with the rural rates being higher due to the lack of infrastructure. Throughout Hillsborough County, there was only one exception made to this rule, and that's the RP2 area and Baum, and that received the urban rate. So that's being addressed, correct?
Absolutely. Good point.
Faith Estes, the National Association of Realtors just released a study showing that the lack of affordable housing slows job growth, and Tampa was specifically named as a city at risk. What are some suggestions on how to alleviate the upward pressure on housing costs?
The realtor question, so you want to start?
Yeah, again, I'm representing Andy Joe Scaglione here, not the realtors, but I'll speak a little bit on my knowledge on that. As you know, affordability, we were 98th in 2014, we're 133rd as of now. And medium family houses have jumped 58%, three times the growth of family income at 18%. So that's the issue here. And I'll expand on it more.
Thank you. That affordable housing is something that everybody agrees is a problem, is a crisis, to the point where our county commission has set aside now a commitment to $10 million a year for affordable housing and for helping to provide affordable housing. We've also set in some percentages because it's really important to serve those who are making less than 50% of the average median income and get them on their feet. There's a lot of workers, working families, who are making very little in our community, and it's important that they're able to have housing. But at the same time, because it's such an important issue, affordable housing is being thrown around a lot as an excuse to pave over the farmland, which is cheap, and provide cheaper housing. But that still ends up being $240,000 a house. And when it's too far out, every single person in the house has to own their own car, which is not affordable. So we need to be careful where we're putting affordable housing so it's near transit hubs, jobs, and services.
And again, I'd like to echo what Mariella said, because I think for the economically disadvantaged, it only puts more of a burden on them. So urban sprawlers will say, well, you know, we can do cheaper, affordable housing out there. But then, once again, those folks become the ones that suffered their quality of life. They have the commute. And it only adds to their burden, in my opinion. And I've seen this firsthand in communities like Waimama.
So representing the construction industry, obviously, if we're going to continue this growth, construction, there's a lot of construction workers who work in our industry. Affordable housing is key. Affordable housing is key with our teachers as well, teachers in our urban core. And what you're seeing, quite honestly, is in our urban core, in our schools, in the town and country area, what we're seeing is explosive growth in our schools, and we're wondering where these people are actually living. Because, you know, the numbers don't, when one school goes from 500 one year to 650, 700 kids the next year, you're wondering, all of a sudden, you know, where do these folks come from? So people are coming and people are staying in other people's houses, or, you know, multifamilies living in multiple houses. So it's definitely an issue, and making sure that we provide or able to provide some urban core affordable housing as a school district, it's one of the things that we're starting to look at, because we have a lot of property. We have a lot of property, a lot of schools, and what if we could start working with our community partners? And this is when we talk about working with the city and working with the county. Some of the land that we have that are surrounding schools, maybe we can be part of that affordable housing solution for our teachers and our families around those neighborhoods.
I'm going to talk on a local and state issue on this, because before in 1992, there was Sadowski, okay, after William Sadowski. 30% would go to the state trust, 70% would go to the local. Since 2001, $2 billion has been raided out of that fund, okay? So think what that could have done for affordable housing. Last year, 75% of the $325 million was taken away from us. Just to give you a case in Hillsborough County, we received $2 million. We were supposed to receive $16.9 million.
Could I just like to make another comment about that? I have a friend that works in Plant City on this issue, and he's done some research and is trying to divert urban sprawl back into the city limits, which helps the cities economically. But and one of the things that he suggested is making it more allowable to do stacking and density and adding like garage apartments, the cottages in the backyards, and just taking a little bit closer look at some of those things that maybe we're not allowed to do currently in some of our communities in Tampa.
Thank you.
Well, that's ecologist Vivian Handy answering a question about growth in the state of Florida. We also heard from before her realtor Andy Scaglione. We've heard from Hillsborough County Commissioner Mariela Smith and construction industry worker and Hillsborough School Board member Steve Kona. This is a Tampa Tiger Bay Club forum from 10 days ago. This is the politics of growth in Florida. So what do you think about whether we need impact fees, or whether construction is paying for itself, new construction, or whether there should be infrastructure before new development is built up? Give us a jingle. You can call us at 813-239-9663 if you'd like. You can also email dj@wmnf.org or send us a text at 813-433-0885. You're listening to 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa. It's 12:48 in the afternoon here on Midpoint. And Bob in Largo writes in to say, you heard Mariela Smith, commissioner from Hillsborough County. She says not enough water pressure in South Hillsborough. And Bob goes on to say, how about building the infrastructure and have a plan to pay for the infrastructure before issuing permits for new subdivisions? So that is the comment that came in from Bob in Largo. Thank you for that. And if you'd like to text in, it's 813-433-0885, or you can write dj@wmnf.org. You can send us an email. We're going to hear now a couple of other questions. Answering the first question will be Vivian Handy, who's an ecologist, then Mariela Smith, then Andy Scaglione, who is a realtor. Mariela Smith is a county commissioner. And finally, the last person to answer that question will be, Mariela Smith will get a follow-up on this. So those are the voices that you're about to hear. You're listening to 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa. Write us at dj@wmnf.org and tell us what you think about growth and development. But here is the next pair of questions.
I'm Charlie Bean, and my question comes actually in the form of a warning, because I predict that question will be, what can we do about it? And the warning is, our president is setting himself up to get elected by boosting our economy. And he's planning on boosting our economy by getting rid of all the stuff that we have identified in here, of the things, the rules and regulations that protect our environment. The question is, what are we going to do about it?
We can all vote.
And while we're talking about political leadership at different levels, I think Andy made a really good point that we all need to be involved, not just with our school board and our city council and our county commission, but with our state legislators and our state elections, because those are the people that are raiding the Sadowski Fund year after year. We need to vote in those candidates that will represent our interests. The state legislature this session right now is looking at legislation that will limit local government's ability to determine their own impact fees, limit the school board from being able to decide how much money they need, and our county commission from deciding how much we're going to work together to get. So there are people who are lobbying from here to do that. We need to lobby on the other side.
And just as a follow-up, last year the House, the representatives at the state level, it passed legislation that school board impact fees would increase the most they can increase is 5% over 2 years. It died in the Senate, but think of the condition that we would be in based on where we're locked in at this point today with our outdated fee structure.
And I don't disagree with this gentleman's concerns. However, Washington, D.C. is not who just approved those ridiculous subdivisions outside the urban service area in Waimama. That happened by our locally elected officials. They're the ones we need to work on. They're the ones that are cited again and again for being guilty of inaction on climate change issues, for example. And as Mariella mentioned, the state legislature, and as Mr. Citro, he had a great letter to the editor about the preemptive laws that are coming out of Tallahassee that are tying our hands locally from doing what we need to do for our own communities. So Washington, sure, but let's pay attention to what's happening and who's in charge in Tallahassee and downtown Tampa.
And just as a rebuttal, as the commission has approved sprawled subdivisions outside the urban service area, that was not unanimous. And I did not vote for that.
It was not. Sorry. I should have clarified that.
Yeah.
I was very interested in your bringing up the issue of preemptions by the state legislature. And I wonder how many people in this audience have actually contacted their legislator to ask them to butt out of county and city business, such as the ordinance doing away with the cities and counties' abilities to regulate the cutting of trees, the billboards in locations. It's also been preempted by state government, and now we hear that they're going to butt in on growth too. What kind of response do you get from your lobbying the state legislature and from your talking to our representatives in Tallahassee?
For our Garfield Committee, this is Mary Figg. Thank you. Go ahead.
Everybody knows Mary Figg, and I very much appreciate your experience in our state legislature and understanding of how important it is to get them to mind their own business and let us mind our own business. And we are on the county commission, I can tell you, our county does have a legislative function. Where is Ms. Stewart, who worked on that, Edith Stewart, for so long? And our current county commission is working more and more with our state legislative lobbying arm to try to protect our interests up there in Tallahassee. In fact, we even took a position against those MCORs sprawl toll roads through the state, which will take billions of dollars out of our possible transportation dollars to wreck the environment and spread sprawl through the state and take panther habitat, for crying out loud.
Yes, I can't understand why people aren't up in arms about some of these issues. I mean, we want to regulate fertilizer, plastic bags, plastic straws, how we handle our local trees. That should be, in my mind, the breaking point here. And by the way, Commissioner Smith, I didn't mean to imply. I figured everyone in this learned audience would know who votes which way.
Well, that was ecologist Vivian Handy, and before that we heard Hillsborough County Commissioner Mariella Smith, and we're going to hear from all four of the panelists again, but I just want to break in to remind you that you are listening to 88.5 FM, WMNF Tampa, WMNF.org. This is a forum on the politics of growth and the, I guess, maybe struggle between the environment, a healthy environment, and how much growth and development there's going to be. This was at a Tampa Tiger Bay Club forum about 10 days ago. And we're hearing from developers and from realtors and from a county commissioner and from an ecologist about what their thoughts are on things like impact fees. And we're also hearing from our listeners. I'm going to read a few emails and texts that came in just for a few minutes ago. I'm going to read those and then we're going to go back and hear some more of this forum. Kelly in VM Ybor says, I agreed with the speaker's comment about increasing density in the urban core, possibly by allowing garage apartments. The problem I'm seeing, especially in an area which was considered an affordable area, is that owners are now renting out their properties as Airbnbs instead of renting to people who will help to improve the community by being part of the community. So Kelly is commenting there about one of the aspects of gentrification that we're definitely seeing and are concerned about. So thank you for pointing that out. Also, David writes, we've definitely got too much bleep suburban and exurban sprawl development. We need to stop issuing so many zoning variances, and we must protect our environment much better than we have. The developers give zero blanks about the environment, but they are motivated by greed. Infill is the way to go, says David. And thanks for that email, David. And then Michael says, I was a draftsman doing work for a large developer. When they got word the impact fees were going to be increased, we had to pump out hundreds of house plans to get in for permitting before the increase. Thus, they will always do whatever they can do to make money for themselves. So thank you for those comments. Let's continue. We only have a few minutes left in the show, but let's see how much, as much as we can get in here of the next segment. We're going to hear a question. Actually, this first question comes from a Midpoint host, Shelley Reback, and we'll hear from Mariella Smith and Steve Kona about how they answer that, and then we'll hear the final question from Yvonne Fry if we have time, but here is the question from Shelley.
Hi, Rochelle Reback. Staying with the topic of the state legislature's anti-home rule efforts, the Republican legislature's efforts to curtail home rule in all things, and yesterday's Florida Supreme Court decision against the Citizens Amendment 4 initiative all seem like evil omens for the fate of our county's All for Transportation tax. Are there any contingency plans or suggestions for what we're going to do about our overwhelming transportation needs if the All for Transportation tax is voided?
I'm just sitting here hoping that the voters' will is carried out. Our county commission voted to even make sure that the distribution of those funds was what the citizens voted to do. If that fails, we will be in dire straits. We are in dire straits. As I said earlier, we're $9 billion behind in transportation improvements and the transit that we need for this study. This community will take every bit of the money that tax allocates. The Tampa Bay Partnership just completed their annual study of our region's competitiveness and showed that transit is key to attracting workers and to reducing the economic disparity between the haves and the have-nots, and to lifting all boats. We will really need to do something if that fails. Yeah,
I can tell you from a school district's perspective, with just the half penny, we're getting about $10 to $13 million a month to be able to provide for our students with facilities upgrades. So to have that $20 million that we're all paying sit on the sidelines, it's very frustrating for a taxpayer, and it should be frustrating for everyone out here. So, but I would say that we need to start planning, because we can't, we can't be surprised if it fails, or if it comes. We need to start making plans for that.
My closing question: I look out across this audience of how engaged, what kind of stakeholders, the caliber of folks that we have here that are interested in this opportunity that we have for our community. If you could outline two things that you feel like should be the next steps from your perspective of actionable items that this audience and the rest of our community could engage on and support, what would you outline as your top two priorities of things that we could move forward with in helping to address this opportunity that we have?
Thank you. And I really appreciate the caliber of this audience, the caliber of the questions, and the discussion that we've been able to have here today is very heartening. I think you can see we're digging in. These are complex issues with complex solutions needed, and everybody's going to have to work together. The citizens have brought us to this point of consensus that we're finding. The citizens are clamoring for change, and they need to stay engaged and continue pressing, because there are pressures to deal with impact fees gently, not all the way, and to allow expansion of the urban service area just here.
Well, that's Democratic Hillsborough County Commissioner Mariella Smith. We're not going to be able to hear the rest of her response, but I will post it on our website, WMNF.org. I want to thank everyone who texted in and emailed in today. And if you missed any of this show, you can listen on our website, WMNF.org/news. Thanks to our engineers, Alvaro Montalegre and Frank Knox. I'm Sean Canaan. Tomorrow at noon, your hero, Mark Bureau, will host Midpoint Tuesday. Stay tuned right now for Latino 54. That's coming up after NPR headlines on WMNF Tampa, St. Petersburg, Sarasota, and Lakeland. Thanks so much for listening. And if you tune to our HD3 channel, The Source, you can hear the Senate's impeachment trial of President Trump. That starts any moment. Thanks so much for listening to WMNF Tampa.